Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we certainly thank you that you can never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever let us down. Father, you are so good. You are so good. You only have goodness for us. Every good and every perfect gift is from you, comes down from you. All your promises are yes and amen. You only want the best for us. You only have the best for us. And we praise you tonight for that. We thank you, Father, that you didn't let us down. You sent Jesus. When it looked like everything was going to hell in a handbasket, you sent Jesus. You redeemed us back. You bought us back out of the hands of Satan himself. And you translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Oh, Father, we thank you. And if that wasn't enough, then you raised us up and seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We've been saved. We've been set free. We've been delivered. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we thank you, Lord, tonight. We have the victory. Not trying to get it. We've got it. It's ours. We declare it. We decree it. You said if we'd decree and declare a thing, it would be established. You said you'd watch over your word to perform it. We thank you, Father. You can't ever let us down. Your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes the thing where you sent it. We thank you, Father. We give you all the praise tonight and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may be seated for just a minute. That was worth coming for. That was worth coming for. In Psalm 107, that just bubbled up in me as we were singing that. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I'm set free. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. And I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. He repeats it over and over. Do you think he wants us to give him thanks? Father, we thank you for your goodness. He sent his word, verse 20, and he healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You know what that means right there? That means when you don't feel like praising him, you praise him. When you don't feel like things are going good, that's when you give a sacrifice of praise. Your flesh doesn't want to. Your flesh is having problems, but you praise him out of your spirit. You can praise him out of your spirit to where your problems will shrink, where your problems will just roll off your back when you give him thanks for his goodness. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people. Well, that's where we are. Let's exalt him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name. We praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. See, you got to tell your soul, I'm going to bless God. When your soul doesn't feel, your mind, your will, your emotions, they don't feel like praising God. That's when you need to praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, whatever that destruction might be. Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes but for three things, to steal, kill, and destroy. Aren't you glad that verse didn't end right there? Jesus said, but I've come that you might have abundant life. I've come that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Until it overflows. When you have overflowing abundant life, you can rejoice. But you can rejoice your way to abundance, overflowing life when things aren't going right. When the finances don't look right, you begin to praise him and thank him they are. When your body doesn't feel good, you begin to thank him that by the stripes Jesus bore, you're already healed. You can praise your way right into a miracle. God watches over his word to perform it. When you begin speaking his word, by the stripes that Jesus bore, I'm healed. By the stripes Jesus bore, I'm healed. Your soul might get sick and tired of hearing that, but your spirit man is being built up. Every time you say it, you're hearing it with your own ears. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you speak the word of God, faith has to come. And it just bubbles up out of you until before you realize it, you don't even have the problem that you thought you had. The doctor's report is not the final report. God Almighty's report. Isaiah 53. Verse 1, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord is the power of God. Who has the power of God been revealed to? The one that believes the report. You see, a lot of people don't believe the report, and they don't see the power of God manifest. You have to believe it. That's how you got born again. You had to hear it, you had to believe it, and then you had to confess it. We do the same thing to receive anything from God. All the promises that we find in the Word of God, we have to believe them, we have to receive them, and we have to speak them into existence. When God created, go back to Genesis, when he created everything, he spoke it, and it was so. He spoke it, and it was so. Surely, truly, Jesus has borne our griefs. He has borne our sicknesses. He has borne our sorrows and distresses, verse 4. He carried our sorrows and our pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. There's our sin. He was bruised for our iniquities. There's our sin. The chastisement for our peace. Oh, I love the Amplified. Our chastisement, needful to obtain peace and well-being for us. You get to put your name in there. Was upon Jesus. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Whole means nothing broken, nothing missing. The peace of God, shalom. You can't have peace when you got sickness in your body. You can't have peace when you're broke. financially. That woman that had the issue of blood, when she heard about Jesus, when she heard about Jesus, Mark chapter 5. Verse 21, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when they saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him. Jairus came in faith and begged Jesus to come and lay his hands on his daughter, believing that if he did that, she'd be healed. He put a demand on Jesus. It says, and Jesus went with him. And a great multitude followed and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's too long to be sick, 12 years. 12 days is too long to be sick. 12 hours is too long to be sick. 12 minutes is pushing it. She had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things. This problem with the blood, it caused many different things. None of it was good. And she went to many physicians. She spent all her money, everything she had, and she wasn't any better but got worse. Right about then, she could have been tempted to give up. But she didn't. Why? Because she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said, or she kept saying, I believe she kept saying it all the way from her house, all the way to where she found Jesus. She kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. When I touch his garment, I'll be healed. 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 When I touch his garment, I will be healed. When I touch his garment, I will be healed. You can put an emphasis on any of those words, and I believe she rehearsed it and rehearsed it. She had gotten that revelation in her heart when she heard about Jesus. Number one, you got to hear about Jesus. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. After 12 years, and immediately, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, you see the multitude, everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? And Jesus looked around to see her who had done this, because see, he felt the power. Somebody put a demand on the power. They put a demand on the anointing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. See, there's where peace is restored to her. And be healed of your affliction. Go in peace. She got healed. He said, go in peace. I believe her finances were restored to her. You got to figure, she probably was not employable for 12 years. I can only imagine. what Jesus set her up in business doing. But if she went in peace, he said, go in peace. Those are the words of the master. Then she couldn't have stayed broke. She didn't stay sick. While he was still speaking, we must will see how the rest of the story for Jairus works out. While we're right here, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter's dead. Uh-oh. Doesn't look like Jairus' situation is working out. Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? You got to picture a crowd of people, a multitude of people. A multitude could be 1,000 people. Even if it's only 500. Where do you think Jairus was? He was right shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. Because his little daughter's dying. And remember, Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. All these other people just came and got around him. But Jesus went with him. He did not leave Jesus' side. He probably held on to his garment so he wouldn't lose him in the crowd. Now they're coming and saying to Jairus, don't trouble him anymore. Your daughter's dead. Listen to how Jesus reacts. As soon as Jesus heard that word which was spoken, he said to Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. They said she was dead. He says to Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. Amplified says that Jesus overhearing but ignoring what they said. See, sometimes you've got to ignore what you hear from people that are speaking doubt and unbelief. You've got to ignore what they say. You hang around people that keep speaking contrary to God's word, you're going to begin to believe things contrary to God's word. General populist consensus. Well, everybody believes this. If it's contrary to God's word, then you're not going to get God's results. You're going to get what everybody else gets. Overhearing, but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing. Keep on believing what? Verse 23. My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Keep on believing what you said when you were in faith. And so let's see what happens. After he says, do not be afraid, only believe, he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Why do you suppose that was? He didn't want everybody and his brother having their opinion about what's going on. He knew Peter, James, and John would stand in faith with Jairus. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. He saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. He came in. He said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child's not dead, but sleeping. They ridiculed him. And look what he had to do. He had to put all the family outside that was not believing. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, Peter, John, and James, entered the house where the child was lying. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. Isn't that interesting? This little girl was born when that woman began her problem. That woman gets set free from hers 12 years later. This little girl at 12, same day. Same day, right after the woman with the issue of blood gets healed, she dies. That didn't move Jesus. It didn't move him one bit. He commanded them strictly that no one should know it and that something should be given to her to eat. I don't know if she was a Baptist or what, but the Baptists like to eat. You know. But anyway. This really happened. I'm going to meet this little girl. She's in heaven. I believe she, I mean, we don't see it recorded here, but you know, there's a lot that actually went on. I mean, they couldn't record everything historically, but the people that got saved, they're in heaven. Jairus, going to get to meet him. We can learn from these. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Who heals all your diseases. Redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Satisfies your mouth with good. You know, when you put the word of God into your heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth would speak it. Satisfies your mouth with good things. You suppose speaking the word of God is good things? And look at what happens. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anything can get renewed. You have an old piece of furniture, you can renew it. Well, if you start feeling that you need some renewing, God can do that. God can do that. He can, you know, one of the things that praying in the Spirit does according to the Word of God is it brings refreshing. It brings refreshing. Well, that's good. End of a hard day, just pray in the Spirit for a while and let that refreshing come. Glory, glory, glory. Well, I'm not going to keep you much longer here. We'll go get some goodies. Suppose there's any goodies out there for us? Absolutely, I like that. I'm following you out because he'll find them. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed, set free from the hand of the enemy. For this purpose, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, Christ was revealed or made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I wrote right in my Bible. If you don't have a Bible you can write in, just throw it away and get one you can write in, because it'll help you. I put right in there that he might destroy the works of the devil. I put in there sickness, disease, lack. He'll destroy those things. You know, something that's destroyed can't be put back together. Humpty Dumpty wasn't destroyed. He was busted up. But didn't the king's horses and the king's men? Oh, they couldn't put him back together? I don't know. That's not in the Bible anyway. But if he had been destroyed, you know, my wife has some nice teacups and plates and stuff. And our son, Zach, she had asked him to help clean the house and he didn't want to. And so he's sweeping, and he wiped out about six of those plates. Came off the wall, flying, crash, crash, crash. Because I think he just wanted that to happen. He never fessed up that that was it, but she took the broom away from him. He got what he wanted, and she didn't get what she wanted. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Maybe it's just time to close down. Anyway, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy, that's right. Those plates were destroyed. You know, she asked me to put them back together, but it's just like, I can't put these things back together. little, you know, slivers of glass that come out. You can't put it back. You know, it's not round anymore, you know. It's got jagged edges. And anyway, but Jesus, he did the work that he came to do. That's why we can sing praises to him, praise his name. He's so good. And he's never going to let us down. Impossible. Impossible. Impossible for God to let you down. Man will let you down, woman will let you down, but God will never let you down. You stick with God. You stick with God. He knows what he's doing. He knows the end from the beginning. And he says this, and I'm going to close with this scripture. In Revelation chapter 12, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren," that's Satan, "who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If you're in Christ, then the blood of the Lamb has been sacrificed for you. And you've made it personal. And so therefore, you have covenant rights. And your testimony is final say. The devil says, you're going to die. God says, by the stripes of Jesus, you're already healed. What do you say? Your voice will be the establishing factor for your life. Not God's. Too many people have bought the lie that God is just doing everything irregardless of us. And that's not true. He said they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Not by the word of God's testimony. What do you say? See, what do you say? You have to say what God says. And then he'll establish it. You decree, you declare. Declare a thing, Job 22:28, and he'll establish it. Establish means it's set in concrete. You're not moving that thing. It's established. He says, I watch over my word to perform it, to make sure it comes to pass. You speak his word, he's obligated by the words he's spoken to make sure it comes to pass. That's why Satan can't take you out until you give him permission. How do you give him permission? Stop agreeing with God. So all you got to do is stop believing God. There's only two kingdoms going on here in this planet. There's God's kingdom and there's Satan's kingdom. You want to be speaking God's kingdom. And you'll get God's kingdom blessings. Amen? Praise the Lord.